I want to do that song again at the end because that is the message today. The end, by the end of the message, that is the message. I will follow you. And so in that case, you can probably go to sleep and not worry about the rest of the message. But some of you do anyway, so it's okay. I'm glad you're here. We say it every week and we mean it. You're not here by mistake. You're here by design. And the band, especially the choir, all these things, they cannot lead us in worship. They only create the environment of it. The worship that we bring comes from our heart. The worship that we bring comes from the overflow of our heart. They do a great job in setting the environment of that. What I love about our musicians and our worship team is they lead with their face before they ever lead with their instruments. They lead with their life before they ever lead with just playing the guitar or playing the bass or whatever. It's leading in their face. You watch them and they draw us to worship. And I think that's what a great worship band does. Have you ever been in a situation in your life, and I'm probably a rhetorical question that is obvious, but have you ever been in a situation where things just don't make sense? It makes no sense. When you look at your life and the situations thereof, it makes no sense. We've been looking at the life of Joshua, and especially as he took over for Moses, as Moses, the leader of Israel, passed on, and Moses and Joshua became the leader. We've been looking at his life. And some of the issues, I'm sure Joshua looked back and said, man, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I know in our life at times, we look at life and we say, what makes sense? And you can have situations in your life today and say, man, that just doesn't make any sense at all. And how did that happen? Or where did that happen? Or what am I supposed to do about that? Where you just say, man, it just makes absolutely no sense. And today as we look at God's word, as we look at the issue of Joshua, this is really where it comes. The lesson is when it makes no sense, the end of this message, which you're going to hear, when things just don't make sense, follow God. I will follow. That is what it needs to be. But in this process, if we look at Joshua, we've seen that Joshua came to the Jordan, and they came to the Jordan, and Jesus said, okay, the Lord said to Joshua, okay, what you're going to do here is you're going to just watch the Jordan pass, and you're going to walk over it. You're all going to go in on dry ground, and you're going to go over and take Jericho and all that kind of stuff and inhabit the land that I've given you, God's promised land. And a lot of ways, it just didn't make sense. And this morning, I want to look at some things. When things don't make sense, there are some things that we can hold on to. And there's four principles, and they're kind of built on each other. But it's when things just don't make sense in our life, what are we to do? But I think before we see any of that, even in Joshua's life, we need to have the basis and the understanding that God's plan is powerful. When we can't see the sense of it, when we don't understand, it does not mean that God doesn't have a plan. It doesn't mean that God isn't working. And God's plan is always powerful. In fact, as we come to this story of Joshua, as he's coming to the walls of Jericho, we're going to see in just a minute that he was walking around. He was surveying Jericho. He was looking at these walls. I don't know where Joshua is. He's probably much better than I am. But, you know, I would look at the walls and say, God, this is impossible. Look at these walls. They anticipate some of these walls may be 12 feet thick. And I'm supposed to take this fortified city with these people? This is crazy. He may be saying it's just the impossible. However, he also may have, on the other hand, saying, instead of feeling weak as a leader, like some of us would look and say, God, I don't know if I can do this. Why don't you choose somebody else? Joshua may have been the sort that said, God, I remember the past. I remember what you've done. I remember, man, I remember Jordan. I remember 40 years in walking, and I remember the manna and all the things that you did for me. Let's go. Let's charge hell with a squirt gun. God, I'm behind you. Let's go. I don't know how he would have responded. I don't know how I would have responded. I don't know how you may have responded. But he was rehearsing, I'm sure, as he walked those walls, as he walked around the fortified city saying, okay, I'm supposed to take this city. And as of yet, I don't have a plan. But I guarantee you that in some way, he felt like God had a plan. And probably rehearsing the past experiences of what he saw take place, that he could trust in God. He built on that faith avenue. And in chapter 5 of Joshua, verse 13, it says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord God Jehovah, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. I think in this process, here Joshua, he may have been saying, man, I'm supposed to take this city. How am I supposed to do it? There's a wall here, the barriers of the wall that I see. How am I supposed to take this? God's plan is powerful. He needed God's plan. He looked at the Lord and said, tell me, I'm ready. Here's your servant. Tell me what I'm supposed to do here. And the Lord appears and he says, are you a friend or a foe? Am I supposed to fight you? Where is this? And he says, no, I'm the angel of the Lord. I think it's interesting. He says to take off your shoes. This ground is holy. I think it was holy not only because the Lord was there, but it was holy because God had destined his people to own that land. He said, this is the fulfillment of a promise. You are going to inhabit this land. I've determined this land based on upon my own sovereignty. I have chosen you as a favored people, the nation of Israel. God chose as a favored people. No merit on their own, just simply by God. And he chose the land that he was going to give them. No merit of their own, chosen by God, a sovereign God. And he said, this land is holy. I think at times we start to worry about seeking God's plan. And I'm sure Joshua, as he walked the walls of Jericho, as he had already seen, he said, God, I'm waiting. My army is not going to be able to take. Our warfare of wandering around for 40 years out in the desert, we don't have the army to take that wall. How are we going to do this? How are we going to take this city? What are we going to do? But God, he realized that in seeking God's plan, it wasn't seeking his self plan. I don't know that Joshua was going, well, if I attack this wall here, attack that wall here, what can we do here? Can we ram this? I believe fully that he was seeking God's plan and not self. I think sometimes we start looking for things that in our own plans, to think our selfish plans. How are we going to get around something when there's walls in our lives and barriers that are just keeping us and saying, man, I can't see past that wall. I can't see past that barrier. I can't get past that. Just when I think it's behind me, it moves and now it's in front of me again. And I believe God's plan has power. We need to understand that. And God's plan begins. Listen to me. God's plan begins with the issue of salvation. And salvation isn't about this church. It's not about this religion. It's about following and knowing Christ as your Savior. And there's so many plans, there's so many things, all the things, but I think in that premise is the promise that God says, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But not only does he says in 2 Corinthians, I have changed you. And God's plan is powerful. And as I studied this, I kept coming back to this, though it's not found actually in Joshua, but I realized, I think at times, that we pursue our salvation and we live our salvation as if God is a weak, anemic God. And our salvation is powerful. When you give your life to Christ, he says he has made you new. You are a new creation. Your sins are forgiven. The sin tomorrow is forgiven. The sin yesterday is forgiven. He says, I see you because of Christ's blood in your life. I see you as righteous. I've declared you holy, redeemed, justified, sanctified. Your power is in the salvation of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covering us. And yet we live as weak, anemic. I'm not so sure I can't do this. We look at the barriers of our life. And I think sometimes we don't live in the daily wonder and the daily power of seeing God demonstrate in our life. We think that he's some weak, anemic God. And many times we come to our salvation as kind of like saying, okay, well, I'm just going to add a backpack religion on here. Jesus would be good. I can just add him on, add him to what I got, and keep going. Just my backpack faith. And yet God says, no, that's not about it. It's about a life-changing experience. It's not about adding to. It's about living completely within that. I mean, do you really believe in the power of God? Do you really believe that God changed your life? That some of the walls and the barriers that we have in our life, we need to see that, God, you have power over that. You've changed my life. The wall of the past, the wall of my past mistakes, my past failures, the wall of my past successes, which I may be trying to build on, all of it is nothing compared to the greatness of knowing him. Do we really believe in the power of God? I was reading, as I studied, an Episcopalian minister named Robert Caban, he wrote this, and let me summarize if I can just briefly, because I think it was so powerful when we talk about our salvation. He says, the most critical issue facing Christians is not abortion, pornography, the disintegration of the family, moral absolutes, MTV, drugs, racism, sexuality, school prayer. And I'm sure you're wondering, well, if those things aren't the most issues facing Christianity, what is? And I think this is where it is. The critical issue today is the issue of dullness. The good news is no longer good news. It's just okay. Christianity is no longer life-changing, but life-enhancing. And sometimes we approach God, how can you enhance my life? How can you make it better? Instead of approaching it, God, you've changed me. You've adopted me. Help me to live as who I am. In the power of the resurrection, in the power of the Spirit of God in my life, help me to live that who I am. And not be bound by the walls that not just in front of us, but some of you are bound by the walls that have surrounded you. And no matter where you look, you say, I can't get away from it. Because you're still living in your own strength, your own might. You haven't seen that God says, I've already dropped the walls. You're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. God's plan is powerful, and salvation in our life is powerful. Every week, most weeks, we have people who come to this church. And we have some who come as first time, or those who have come who are still just, I'm tiptoeing into this thing, like I'm tiptoeing into the Jordan River to see what God's doing, to really see if God has impact. And there comes a point in your life when you can look back, and guess what? The life with God, when you're out from the outside looking at it, it makes no sense. Right? Really? You really want me to give my life to the Lord Jesus? It makes no sense. God's going to take care. It makes no sense. It's about me. I got to be my self-made man. I got to take care of things myself. I got to do it myself. You want me to trust in God? You want me to, what are you talking about? That makes no sense. But boy, when you get on the other side of that, those of you here whose life has been changed because you gave your life to Christ, not a church, not a denomination, not a religion, when you gave your life to Christ and had an encounter with the grace of God and you truly knew that he changed your life, man, all of a sudden, what made no sense looking in makes perfect sense when you're in. And sometimes you say, God, it still doesn't make sense because I don't know why you would take someone like me and change my life. I don't know how you can forgive someone like me, but he does. He takes the weight of our sin, and God's power, God's plan is powerful. But if God's plan is powerful, that power has to be dependable. And God's power is dependable. Chapter 6, verse 2. As we go to Joshua, then the Lord said to Joshua, now remember Joshua's down, got on his knees because he's sitting on holy ground. The Lord, the captain of the Lord of hosts said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and fighting men. Now just for a moment there, Joshua may not be like me, but I might look up from my prayer peeky. You don't dare look when the Lord's praying or telling you something, you kind of look like this. But I'm looking around, I'm looking at the walls. Wait a minute, God, you've already delivered them to me? I must have missed something. Because I still see the wall. I still hear the forces in there. Thanks for delivering me, but are you? And God said, no, my power is dependable. I'm telling you the end of the story before you ever get there. I'm telling you what it's going to be about before you ever see it. And God's power is dependable. He says, I have given you this place. I will never leave you. He says to be anxious for nothing. Why? As you read that out, it's the object of that verse contextually is be anxious for nothing because the Lord is near. The Lord is with you. I do not have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about the barriers and the walls in my life because God is with me. God can change your life. God can change any life. That's the building the importance of faith history. That's the building the importance of knowing and trusting God's promises. This recently, I had the privilege of going to one of our life groups. Doug was out and had to work. It was Halloween time, and he was out, and he asked me, I had the privilege of going to his life group. I don't know if the life group appreciated the same privilege, but I loved it, being able to go in, and they were going through the book of the promises of God, the unbroken promises, and that's what they are. God promises to us. Why you need to be in a life group? Because you need to know the part of the promises and the study that they bring. And the issue of the promises of God that we can bank on, that they're dependable. He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. In my weakness is when God's strength is seen most. Joshua probably felt like, well, I can't do this. And God, the Lord, probably said, you're right, you can't. You can't do it. It's already been done. It's already been done. I'm going to show you how it's going to be done. The issue of God's power is dependable. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. The plan we see is powerful. And God's power is dependable. But he also then says that dependence that we have has to be built on faith. It has to be built on faith. Look at the plan so much as it was in chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. This is a great plan that they're giving Joshua here, how those walls are coming down. Now, you may think, because we can read back and say, yeah, we know the end of the story, but I'm sure he's thinking, this is a great military advance, God. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark, and on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times while the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up every man straight in. Boy, dependence, talk about built on faith. I don't hear Joshua arguing with that. He didn't add, but God, maybe we ought to do this, maybe we ought to do that. It didn't make any human sense. It didn't even make any military sense as to why these walls would come tumbling down. And yet often we see that God moves, and how God moves, it makes no human sense. And isn't that great when you think about it? When you see the wonder of God displayed in different ways, and when it makes no sense whatsoever, and aren't we glad that we can see that at times, that we have the view of that? That is living in the wonder of knowing God. The wonder of knowing God. Considering God in everything. Sometimes things just don't make sense, and you look back and say, okay, and maybe we never will see that. And I know in your life you may look and say, man, that just didn't make sense, but have you ever had those opportunities when you say, this didn't make sense at all, but as you get some time, and as you get some perspective, you start to see how God worked in all of that? And that tapestry we talk about, that God weaves all those lines together, and on the backside it may look all frazzled, you may not see it work together, but you turn it over, and there's the beautiful tapestry. There's times in my life that I've looked, and probably not as many as I should, I hope I probably miss many, but where I stopped and said, God, I'm considering your plan, I want to follow you, give me your wonder, let me see your wonder. And sometimes we see the purpose of that, and many times we don't. To see that God has a plan, I can trust in that. To see when it just doesn't make sense. There were issues of even when I came to this church, we started this church, humanly, from my perspective, from a human perspective, it made no sense. None whatsoever. It made no sense. And yet look, as you look back at the wonder of God, that I'm able to see in many of your hearts and lives the change. As we give birth to another family, another church in Tracy, the Tracy campus, as we begin to see to multiply and to see that take place. Do you ever step back and say, God, it's not about just today. Help me to see the wonder of you displayed in so many ways. 20 years ago, it made no human sense to me when my nephew was murdered. Not a bit. 20 years ago, in fact, at 20 years ago, trying to deal with all that was taking place within that, I got angry at God. I remember driving and hitting my steering wheel, said, God, this just makes no sense. But 20 years later, in ways that only God could orchestrate, I'm beginning to see the wonder of the death of my nephew. 20 years later. I can't tell you the story. I don't have the freedom to. But as I did this message, I'm thinking the wonder of God, the tapestry 20 years ago, I never saw how any of those threads would ever connect to Lathrop, California within the process. And yet now I'm beginning to see, and I hope I get to see the fulfillment of some of that. I may not until I get to heaven, but to see how something that made no sense 20 years later, God had a plan. God had a plan. Every generation, it seems, seeks to diminish or deny the wonder of God. They try to deny the power and the existence of God. You may fall prey to that as well. As I studied, it was interesting to see how some of the pundits would say and people who would try to explain how the walls fell. That I didn't realize this, but now I'm very enlightened that really it was an earthquake that took the walls down. It was an earthquake. And it was a really sharp earthquake, and it was focused earthquake, and it just took the walls of Jericho down. Oh, wait. Part of the wall didn't come down, because that's where Rahab was, and it didn't affect the armies around Jericho. It was a really amazing earthquake that only took that. And then I heard, then I realized, okay, I had more enlightenment of those who knew. And they said, no, what was happening here is that it was the sound waves of the trumpet, the sound waves of the ram's horns in unison, just had that right harmonic balance, and the 12-foot walls came a tumbling down. That made more sense to me, really. I mean, because then, except Rahab's wall. And then I heard that it wasn't at all the ram's horns. It wasn't sound waves. It was sonic waves. It was the geographical issues of the sandy loam, and they were marching. And if you march just right, all in cadence, bridges fall and things. And that's why when they were marching, left, right, ram's horn, shout. Okay, What happened is all of that together, on that soil, the seismic waves of them marching together collapsed the walls. That makes sense, doesn't it? Well, then I heard the best one I thought was the best one that people say that the reason the walls came tumbling down is it's just that natural phenomena of a sinkhole. That's what it was. Do you guys know that? You learn all this stuff from me, don't you? Aren't you glad? Hebrews chapter 11, I think, tells us that the reality of why it fell, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. But we always come back to that issue of trying to figure out why do they fall and deny existence of God. We have Christmas coming up and we deny all the issues of the virgin birth. And then we have Easter coming up and there's all the pundits who will say, well, it really wasn't a resurrection because he never really died. All the different theories, the swoon theory, the wrong tomb theory, all the reasons why to seek to deny the existence, to diminish the power and the existence of God. You guys know one of my soapboxes of the issue, and some of you here, I know, are in disagreement with me. That's okay, I love you anyway, all right? But the reality is the teaching of evolutionary thought is not about the origin of man. The teaching of evolutionary thought isn't, they're not even trying. Some believe they are, but the reality is that the basis of teaching evolutionary thought is to deny the existence and the need of a God. That if we just happened out of existence with nothing there, just boom, and out of plasma, out of nothingness came me. Whoa, baby. Then you guys would have to believe there's a God. Within that process. But the evolutionary thought, it's not about the origin of man. It's about the denial of the existence of God, that a God is needed. And the Bible says God created, and I just believe, period. That's it. So the reality of the dependence is built upon faith. Walking by faith is considering God in everything. You want to walk by faith? It's not some cosmic thing. It's considering God. You want to walk by faith when you walk out of here? Just consider God. That's walking by faith. Very simple, really. It's not brain surgery. God, what would you do here? God, how do you want me to live? Following God. And if that God's plan is powerful and his power is dependable and that dependence is built on faith, the greatest thing is that faith will sustain you. Faith sustains. He says, we're going to do this for 7 days, walk around this place. Are you kidding me? What kind of battle plan is that? I thought we were going to be storming the gates. Or on the other hand, maybe they're saying, hey, if that's the case, why doesn't God just flatten this thing on his own? Why doesn't he just do it? In fact, we get to sit around and continue making s'mores around the campfire and God could take care of the city of Jericho. But faith sustains. They were obedient to that. And faith in God's plan and faith in God's control builds endurance. Listen, you see the walls ahead of you, see the walls around you. At times it don't make sense. You say, I'll never be able to beat this. I'll never be able to conquer this. And God says, listen, the battle may already be won, what one you're dealing with, but don't ever give up. Don't give up. There's people who say, well, God failed me, and so therefore I just turned my back. Do you realize that when they were going to cross the Jordan, as we mentioned that last week, that he says, hey, you walk in the water and I'm going to stop the water. But he didn't tell him he was stopping at 20 miles upstream. 20 miles. He didn't see what God was doing right there. They went in the water. The water was still there. God stopped the water 20 miles up. And we may not see God working. He may not answer the way we want. We may not see that right then. It may be 20 years or 20 miles and we see God working things out. And faith sustains. To stay in control, that saying God is in control. I may not see it, but I'm going to endure because I have faith and trust in the Lord. I'm going to consider God, that God knows more than I do, that God is in control. And faith sustains us in the endurance. When the battle seems unwinnable, be faithful. When the walls around you seem to be looming in, when you can't even pray right, God says, you know what? The Lord Jesus is making utterances in your behalf, praying for you. When the sin seems to have control, trust, follow, seek God. The people of Israel on that day had great success. The walls came a-tumbling down. And everybody said, wow, look at the success of that. But ladies and gentlemen, success is not following a great plan. Success is not following a great plan. Obviously, they didn't have a great plan, did they? Let's walk around this 3.5-acre Jericho. Then we're going to shout and jump up and down and say, woo, and the walls are going to come down. That's not a really good military strategy. Success was not following a great plan. Success is not following a great plan today. We're trying to give birth to a church in Tracy. Guess what? We have it all written down. We got listed out. Man, Ben's got things scheduled out. That's Ben. But success is not following a great plan. Success is following a great God. A great God. And that's what success is following a great God. What's our plan, our vision? You know, we can say we want to do this, we want to do that, but James says, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You say, the Lord wills, we're going to do this, and the Lord wills, we're going to do that. But he says to follow God. Our Tracy campus, our Lathrop campus, oh, we got the plans made. We want to see things happen. But it says it's all in vain unless we, as God's people, are not letting him build the house. What is the wall you're facing today? What's the wall? Addiction? Relationships? Fear, anxiety? Job? Spouse? What's the walls you're facing today? Perhaps you just can't see a way over it, around it, or through it. Take your focus off the walls and put them on a great God. And be anxious for nothing because he is near and he knows. And you follow by faith. I will never give up. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to endure. I may not see. It may not make sense. God did not promise us, folks, that this life would be easy. He did not promise us that this life would be fair. And he definitely did not promise us that we will understand God's ways. In fact, he said, he can guarantee you we won't understand his ways. But we follow, we endure, knowing, building that faith history. Today, we follow by faith. Some of us seek success in a lot of different ways. You may be seeking success today because of a bank account or by a position, by authority, by what you drive, by whatever it may be, seeking that success, seeking that impact. But the success is not that. The success really wasn't the walls coming down. The success was them being obedient to the Lord. And today, whatever you're facing, whatever the walls around you, God says, hey, the battle's won. The battle's won. Live as who you are. Follow God. Let's pray. Father, this morning we like to make plans. And there's nothing wrong with making plans, but may our plans always be through the grid of your will. May we be sensitive to make changes within that. And God, I realize today there are those who have walls around and barriers that they feel like they just can't get over. And God, I know some of that, it's difficult, but I do know the truth is that we have to depend upon you, that your power is great, that your faith will sustain us. So God, I pray you will encourage every heart here this morning, no matter what the battle is they may be facing. God, may we get to our knees. May we trust in you and build faith within that, knowing that you are with us and you care for us. It may not be easy. It may not be a life of roses. You never promised that.